All right. So yeah, I've been playing since I was very little.
That's
So
great.
what would you say are the like top five player or top 10 list in the world right now? Would you say if you had a pick of like players worldwide, you mentioned Filler in there
Well, they're
and
all in there. I mean, there's so many names, the Asians, and I can't remember their names. Ko-Pin Yee, Kevin Chang, you have Filler, Gorst, Jason Shaw, Shane Van Boning, Sky, I think, is capable of winning anything. I mean, there's just so many names, you know,
so
that.
how would you rate like the players today as of the past? Like, say for instance, like if you could compare when you were playing Buddy Hall in the finals, you know, if to contrast that with today, like it seems like the US Open has become more of a international event now.
Well, back then it was too. I mean, Afrin was at the US Open, all the Filipinos, you know, the US Open has always been international. It just might be a little bigger now, but it's hard to decipher, for example, like what was it like then compared to now, because everything has changed, the conditions, the cloth, the table, the size of the pockets, the balls. Back when we played, God, I sound so old. Back when we played, you know, in the 80s and 90s, we played on Stephen's thick, slow cloth, and you had to have a stroke to get the ball around the table. And every match you played was like a Parika, Buddy, Varner, Archer, you know, Siegel, Strickland. There were so many. Rempe, you know, everybody. I mean, everybody that played could beat you. There was really no easy draw back in the day. Greg Fix, Mark Wilson. There were players that, you know, honestly. Everybody played great, just like they do now. But if I had to compare, here's my example. If you took today's players and you put them in our time back then on that cloth with those balls and those tables, we would rob them. Filler and Shaw, and no offense to them, they're champions, great players. But on these tables, it was a whole different ball game. It was like playing on mud. With tight pockets, and you had to hit everything hard to make the cue ball move around the table. I think that us in that time, we would win. I think if you took those players now and you could move them forward into this time, that these kids would rob us.
So yeah, it's almost like a different game in a lot of ways, isn't it?
It is. Hold on one second. That was my fiance. But you have to take into consideration just everything that's changed. I mean, not that, and I don't want to come across to sound like bitter, like these guys can't play these days, because they're all great players and champions. Obviously, Jason Shaw is a great player. Filler's a great player. They have great strokes. Gorst, all the Oriental players. But the conditions favor just everyone and anyone. You really don't need a stroke to play anymore because the rails are so bouncy, the cloth is so fast. And they're changing the balls. And like when we went to tournaments, the tables were not as nice as they are now. They weren't as new as they are now. We were playing on old cloth, beat up balls, you know, just it was a little tougher back then, is all I'm trying to say. I think that if you took the players from back then and tried to put them in today's era with these tables and these conditions, they would probably be able to compete somewhat. But again, I mean, are you bringing them back in their prime? And bringing them against these guys? Are you bringing me back when I was in the 90s, like the best player in the world two or three times to play these guys now? Or are you bringing them back, you know, at 40 or 50 like me and playing them? I mean, if you put prime against prime, I think it would be a bullfight. I think there would be two, they would
Yeah.
headbutt. I think,
It's like
obviously.
it's a hypothetical, you know. I know it's hypothetical, but
Yeah.
it's interesting to think about a little bit, but you know, it'll never happen. So yeah, I
Well,
understand.
you never know. It might happen.
I wanna see the hatchet man chopping them up.
Oh, I want to chop him up. But I will say this, and I know people talk about him a lot now, but you know, and it's not funny that people laugh at him. The man has some issues internally, and hopefully he gets help or gets some medicine for it. But I'll tell you this, and this is my opinion. I think that Earl Strickland is the best player to ever live and play the game. And that includes these guys today, Filler, Shaw, Gorst. I think Earl would outplay them all in his prime. I don't think that there's anyone on the planet that could beat Earl Strickland in his prime. And that's coming from me. And I have a huge ego. And I, you know, I feel the same way about myself. Had I quit drinking in my prime, I would have, I felt like I would have been another Earl or better. But I can tell you that, that's my opinion. And I think that Earl is probably the best player that ever lived.
Even after the goal, Efren Reyes?
Yeah, I think, well, Efren was better all around. He was great at everything. I think Efren would be the greatest all-around player.
Okay.
If it was a rotation game, 9-ball or 10-ball, I think that Earl, in his prime, would just destroy everyone.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Earl, I mean, he was he's such a – when in his prime, when I saw him, I saw that color of money, and I think he got in his own head or he would have just destroyed Reyes in that. I mean – but he was up like 20 racks into the last day or something. And then you saw him getting in his own head. And I really think he'd have won that if he'd have just stayed with it.
Yeah, he was, 20 or 25 games ahead? And then he kind of fell apart. But, I mean, listen, it's happened to all of us.
Right.
I think Shane, last time he played Dennis, had him, but he was up like 20 or 30 games and he won Hill. I've done it. I mean, we've all done it. We've all fell apart. Obviously, Earl explodes more than normal. But again, if I'm not mistaken, he is clinically diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Right.
So I don't.
Yeah, I feel him on that. I am too. And I think it's bipolar one. I get a mixed up bipolar one, bipolar two. It's all bipolar to me.
You know, people like to watch Earl play and they'd say, oh, I want to see him. You know, do you really want to watch him play or do you want to watch him blow up? Because when I see him blow up, I don't think it's funny. It makes me want to cry because I know that internally the man is suffering. You're looking at a man who was the best that ever played the game and was a champion and is now fighting battles in his own brain, whether it be because of bipolar disorder or because of because he still wants to win and he can't or because of everything combined. I don't find it funny at all.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
If I'm going to see Earl play, I want to watch Earl play great. When I watch Earl play, I don't want to watch him play bad and blow up and start screaming at the crowd. That's not what I want to see. I want to see the man play.
Speaking of him, how it all relates to the Moscone Cup, talking about that. Is he an option for this year's Moscone Cup like last year's as well?
I would say no, not after what transpired at Turning Stone. I think he quit right in the middle of the match, if I'm not mistaken. He was screaming at the crowd, and I saw him throwing some punches and stuff. But just I think that moving forward, that they're going to try to focus on guys like Shane, Sky, Oscar, the guys in the top 5 or 10 of the point rankings, Shane Wolford. I think that they're going to continue to try to stay with the younger generation and be done with us older.
Like, what are your thoughts real quick on the younger? It seems like we've got Eric Roberts and some of these other young talents coming up.
Who's Eric Roberts?
He's just a junior player that's really been killing it, you know, as far as I know. I only know a little bit, you know. I'm trying to get more into the junior players myself so we can cover these. We've got Thomas Swain. He's out of Florida here. He's getting in the SBB Open, and we're covering him in the next issue. We're trying to get more juniors because we know that's the future of the game and cover that. So we've been, you know, Savannah Easton did an article there with us. And so that's great. And we want to see that because without them, you know, there's no future in the game.
Right. I just think that it's hard to say, you know. I mean, like me, not that I was a rookie, but technically I was a rookie. But when I was a rookie, it was 2009. It was 13 years ago. I mean, I was 39 years old. I was no rookie. You know what I mean? I'd been playing the game for 25 years, 30 years at that point. So I wouldn't consider myself a rookie when I went out there to play in the Moscone Cup, even though technically I was a rookie. But the younger kids like Cash Keaton and the kid you just mentioned and all these other younger guys, you don't just walk out to the Moscone Cup and perform. You have to pay your dues and you have to earn your badges and you have to be prepared to play. There might be a time when they can just at 18 or 19 or 20 or, you know, whatever you have to be to play, just jump in the box and play and start to win matches. But I just don't see that happening. I could be wrong. I could be stuck in my ways as an old man, but I think they need to get out there. They need to play their junior events, turn pro, playing pro events and compete. And then once they can compete with Kane and Sky and all the Orientals and the Filipinos and then give them their chance. When you have guys out there traveling right now, paying their dues, Oscar, he's going to Russia and the world championships and doing this.
I want to know, now that you mentioned him, Oscar, why haven't we seen him in the Moscone Cup? He's always up there. I don't understand that.
I don't really know how to talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
It's a touch.
Okay, yeah, well, him and I played each other. When him and I played with each other, there was a comment made and it was taken out of context. And I think he was just trying to be funny and lighten the situation. And for some reason they just completely bashed him. And I don't know if he's been on the team since. He may have, but I think that might have something to do with it. And I also think that they think that maybe there are some players that play better than him, which isn't really necessarily the case. I think Oscar is capable of playing just as good as anyone. I've seen Oscar play perfect matches, and I've seen Oscar play horrible. I've seen Shane play perfect matches, and I've seen Shane play horrible. I think we all have, especially in the Cup. Same with Jason Shaw. I've seen him play great. I've seen him play horrible. It happens to all of us. You can't take anyone out or chastise or say, oh, this guy can't play, or he can't. He dogs it every time he plays, because that's not true. You're going to have good matches and you're going to have bad matches. You're going to make balls that people are going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe he made that. And then there's going to be balls that we miss just because we took our eye off the ball that are simply routine and easy that an APA 5 could make. Right. You know, and as I said, it happens to all of us.
Then the last matchroom event that they had before the Asian 9 ball, they changed the way they were racking the balls.
Yes.
Where they put the 9 ball on the point instead of the 1 ball. And I think that threw a lot of the players off. Plus they had to shoot out of the box.
Well, I think that makes it fair. I think that's a great idea, because if you're playing 9 ball, the breaking from the rail with the one on the spot, the corner ball goes every time, you know, and you're basically hitting them soft and playing position. And it's not really a skill at that point. It's a routine.
Yeah.
You know, it's like breaking and playing position for the one on the break, and then you run out. Does it take a little skill to do that? Yes. But to me, that's not, again, I sound old. It's not the way we used to play pool. Back in the day, you hit them and where they landed, you'd run out. But now it's not about that. Now it's about, you know, it's about the break. It's about the mental game, and it's about racking the balls and touching the one and you know, cutting them and playing the corner ball and dragging the cue ball up to the top of the table, and the one goes cross corner and they play position for the 1 ball, and you know, just what it is now. But I would rather see that than see them, you know, break from the rail and make the corner ball every single time and play position for the one. Then, you know, at least if you break from the box, you have to cut them, and there's a little bit of luck involved. The cue ball gets kicked around, so it's fair for everyone. Everyone has to learn how to do it, and everyone should be able to do it.
Right.
So I don't think there's a problem with it.
Yeah.
I think they played that. They had the rack and the 9 on the spot.
Right.
And then they had rack and the 1 on the spot. But from my perspective, I was thinking about, like, you know, 9 ball really is a break and run out game, though. You know, it's like, if you alternate breaks and you have legitimate races to 9 and not these carnival races to 4, that's a joke. Yeah, you know,
my door is locked and I have to let my fiance.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of great information in a short time here. I really appreciate the time here. I'm sorry I had my
Yeah,
What's
let's
that?
talk about the Moscone. This year's Moscone.
Yeah. Let's get like, who have they selected? We've got Shane Van Boning and Filler selected so far, and
I
who
think
all
that's it.
That's it.
I think that's it.
Like, do we have? Are we thinking about like, who would you assemble if you assembled a team this year for the Moscone Cup?
I would assemble the guys that are out there competing, planning the events, doing all the traveling, putting in their dues, and, you know. And for me, it's not all about winning. Like, you know, you don't have to win tournaments just to be picked for the Moscone Cup team. Just because a guy's playing good in tournaments doesn't mean he's going to perform well in the Moscone Cup. I would have to look at all the variables. I would definitely take Shane Wolford this year and probably throw him in the mix. But obviously you get the usual suspects, Shane Van Boning, and Shane is doing the best thing he could ever do for himself. He's traveling the world.
Right.
He's in the Philippines. He's playing all these guys, these long races, even if it's just an exhibition match. I think they're betting a little something, but it's the best thing that he could possibly do for himself, because we all know that Shane hasn't performed the greatest in the Moscone Cup. Not all of them. You know what I mean? He'll go in and play a good match and then play bad.
That is a criticism of his game. But the players, they've got to realize that the Moscone Cup is an exhibition tournament. It's not a legitimate tournament.
It's a race to five.
Huh?
It's a race to five. I mean, it's a crapshoot. You miss one ball and you're liable to get beat. 5-1, 5-0. And there's so much pressure on you between the crowd, the cameras, you know, the whole country pulling for you. I mean, it's not as easy as people think. I don't know. They think that we're like robots and we should just go out there and play great every time. And if we miss a ball, then we get booed. But I think it's a little
easy.
Out of control myself.
It's easy sitting there from the couch, you know, when you're sitting on the couch watching it, you're making every ball, right?
Yeah. So what do they call them? Monday morning quarterback. But I would definitely take the guys who are out there playing, the guys who are out there gambling, because it's not about all just tournaments for me. The guys out there playing a lot of money matches, that puts a lot of pressure on him. He's out there in the grease all the time. Oscar, he's playing Johnny Moore. He just played Johnny Moore again, or he's playing Johnny Moore again. Shane's out there playing. Sky's won the MVP, what, 2-3 times? You can't leave him off the team. So you got Shane, Sky, probably Oscar, Shane Wolford, and I don't know who my fifth pick would be, but again, you have to look at, is Oscar doing good in tournaments? Is Oscar winning matches when he plays for money? Mm-hmm. I know Johnny Mora beat him. So if he continues to get beat by John Mora and he goes to all these tournaments and he never gets like the top, let's say 12, mm-hmm. then obviously you probably wouldn't want to put him on the team because he doesn't have a lot of top five finishes, even though he's out there competing. But there's just, you know what, you could pick who, I could pick my team, you could pick your team, Patrick, you could pick a team, and whoever we throw out there, if they get beat, we're all going to get
right.
thrown under the bus. Yeah, it doesn't matter who we or they or Jeremy
I feel
picks.
Like they, I feel like they did that a little bit to Mark Wilson. Like, you know, I think he was a good team captain. And I'd like, what about Dennis Hatch's captain, though?
Well, I would love to be captain. I mean, I'm a little biased here, but I think that I would be a great captain. I just think that I have that drive and energy, and I think that I have some skills that I've learned over the years. Just practice games and routines that I could take to them and teach them. And I just think that, you know, I would be a great captain, but I have – talked to Emily about it a few times and asked her if I could be co-captain or captain next year if something was to happen, even this year. And she said, well, think about it. And that was about the extent of it. But I would love to be captain. I would absolutely love it. I think that the crowd, the fans would absolutely love it because the Europeans, either they love me or they hate me, and the American fans love me. And I think it would be great for everyone just to have me, even as a co-captain on the team. I think it would bring more excitement to the cup just to have me there.
That's really the main thing about it. You know, I think, what are we set at now? They've got like, how many wins. They've got like 12 wins, but they've got like 13 wins. We've got 12 or something like that.
I think it's closer. It's tied, if I'm not mistaken. It's real close, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there this year. I'll be in the stands.
Right. It'll be interesting.
I'll be a spectator.
I wanted to let y'all know real quick. I've got to check in on something, and so I'm going to have to cut this short. But, Kat, I was going to see if you could continue on with him here. And we've got enough where I've got a great article already. Maybe if you had any other thoughts real quick. I'm sorry about this, Hatch. I just had my son in today and everything, and it's just been chaos.
So I hope your son is okay.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And for the viewers out there, we'll get with you again as well, you know, hopefully. And this has been great so far. I really appreciated it. We've got a lot of good material. And maybe just continue on if you have a few more questions, Kat. And Dennis, thank you again. And I appreciate you. And you're an inspiration to people, especially, you know, I wanted to get into more, but hopefully we'll get together again soon. And I want to talk about the, you know, abstaining from drinking and that kind of thing too, because I think, you know, that's a big story in the game, you know, and I'd like to tie that in with how it all relates. But y'all have a great day, and I'm gonna jump off.
That is my biggest accomplishment by far.
How long have you been how long has it been for you?
7 years, 1 month and 4 days.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I just try to just go one day at a time.
Right, that's all it is one day at a time.
You just can't get comfortable, that's all. If you get comfortable, you know, I just know that if I pick up that first drink that everything's going to change. So today I choose not to pick up that first drink. Exactly. That's all that matters. I don't pick up the first one, I'll never drink again.
Right.
Yep. Pretty easy.
Yeah, it really is. All you got to do is just walk away. And
it's not easy. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's easy. The process is easy because, just like I said, if you don't pick up the first drink, you'll never drink.
Yeah.
But that is so hard to do. Even after 7 years, I still have that little devil or demon.
Devil on your shoulder.
You can have one. You can have a couple. Just, you know, maybe one glass of wine. But no, yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work that way.
No. One's too many and 1,000's not enough.
Right. My husband quit drinking, I think, 30 some years ago. And he's much better now.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he just said, I'm not doing it no more, and he quit. So, but yeah.
My fiance says that I'm allergic to alcohol.
Right. So you got started playing pool from just being a toddler. And when was your first pro game?
I was 9 in Lansing. Yep, at a state championship. Michigan.
Okay.
Hall of Fame Billiards in Lansing, Michigan. Yep.
Right. And did you win there?
No, I didn't. No. I don't even. Yeah. Right. I think I had to play Jimmy Mataya.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I was 9, and then I forgot who else beat me. I think it might have been Rick LaFever or somebody that played really good at the time.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't do good, but I had fun. It was a ball.
Did you ever play Alan Hopkins?
Many times. Yeah, absolutely.
I did it to beat him last year.
Yeah, he was always tough to beat. He had a very unorthodox style, but he was tough to beat.
Right.
He had a weird punch stroke, you know, and you really, honestly, even though the man was a champion, you took him for granted a little bit just because he looked so awkward at the table. As a matter of fact, he was one of the guys that I actually had trouble beating.
Right? Why is it doing that to me? I have it turned off. Anyhow, Alan Hopkins is something else. I really loved talking with him last year. He was pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I'd actually like to do what he does now. I'd like to have an event somewhere.
Right.
We actually just have a casino open up here the What is the casino in Gary or no Hammond? Hard Rock Casino.
Oh, okay.
In Hammond, right outside of Chicago, and I would love to have a pro event there.
Right.
It's a big, beautiful casino, and I would like to do something like he does. Have the amateurs there, the pros there, the booths, and all that stuff. It's a big, long process. I'd have to get into it more. It probably won't happen for years, but
right.
At some point in my life, I would like to have some big event. I do have the my eight ball tournament in Duluth, Minnesota. Shane's played in that. Efren's been there. All the top players go. But that's a pool room event. I would like to have a big major event at a casino. That would be be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would. It'd be a whole lot of fun. I had somebody contact me from down here at the Lake of the Ozarks that has a big resort, asking me if I knew anybody who knew how to run tournaments. And I didn't, but that would be a nice spot too.
Yeah.
I just would have to find somebody that could help them out. I think Patrick's got quite a bit of great stuff here for you. So
all right.
I'll go ahead and cut this short. My husband he's an artist. He just turned on the music, so he's in there.
Okay.
So
all right. Thank you for the interview, and I hope that you have a good day. Let me know if you need anything at all.
Okay, I will. Thanks, Dennis.
All right, have a good day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.